Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. Lance is back from his vacation. How was your vacation?
It was good.
You went up to Boston or Maine or something?
Yeah, both.
Yeah?
New England. And I was like, Astros! And I was yelling at everybody.
Where were you? Did you wear your hat or shirt?
Like, put your trash can on! And I'm like... We were screaming. No, it was...
Did you get any fights or nothing?
It was... No, it was good. It was...
Sully or...
Boston was really cool. It was a really cool city. It's the first time I've been there. I'd never been to New England.
Oh, you haven't been there?
Yeah. I went just because it's cooler. You know, it was like 55 degrees. And it was into the 60s. They were unseasonably warm at about 74 our last day in Boston. But it was good. It was fun. It was a really, really pretty area there. A lot of lobster. I was told... that you could get lobster, like, oh, yeah, it's before tourist season. You're going to be able to get for good prices. I mean, I guess if you consider good prices, $25 for a lobster roll that's about, you know, that's this tiny little thing. They're proud of their lobsters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's good and all that, but then I was told, no, you had to go get it from a store and then have them cook it. And I'm like, nah. Well... Who's doing
that? You didn't go to No Names in Boston? Great seafood place.
No, I went to a place called Little Donkeys. Peter, who's the sous chef at Riel, he came from Boston. That's where he was. That's where he's from. That's where he cooked. And so he sent me to some restaurants there he worked at. And it was, man, it was good. Food was good. Scene was good. How about this? The guy where I stayed at the Airbnb, he happened to have a big barn. Like, so he's got a big ass house.
Uh-oh, farmer's daughter story coming up. Kids. Kids.
No. But he's got what's called a barn. He built this big barn where he keeps his two cars and ski snowmobile and all this. And then he tricked out the top and he Airbnbs it. And this place is unbelievable. In his own house, his two sons play college basketball. One of them was Mr. Basketball in the state, a runner-up to Mr. Basketball. He still has three-on-three games at his house. He's got an indoor basketball court he built.
You didn't break it.
No, he asked me, he goes, hey, why don't, first when I first got there, he said he had an indoor court and friends were coming over. He also built a bar, his own bar in his house.
Yeah.
So this is what his bar, this is what his
Lance
bar
is
looks,
in a boot again.
That's what his bar looks like at his house. But then he built a, you know, just a regular indoor basketball gym.
That's nice.
And, complete with lockers and all this stuff. So it's unbelievable. They have 3-on-3 matches twice a week where about 40 guys show up. He's like, why don't you come over? I'm like, I will 100% tear my ACL.
Yeah.
It's not even remotely a question. I did, to add to my fodder, do you see this little thing?
What did you do? He fell again.
Yep.
He's got scraped up all over. The back of his hand and down his arm and all down his leg.
There were some jagged rocks. We were climbing around this.
Why were you doing that again?
Doing because, you know, we did some hiking and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And then my foot got stuck in between two rocks. Bam. And I'm like, if I broke my wrist on vacation, I swear on everything. Emma, blame it on Nicole.
If he came in with a cast today,
how awesome
would that? Would today not be your favorite day ever, Del?
Well, look.
Now it's disappointing.
I mean, it's disappointing that he's here. I mean, if he had a wrist thing, I mean, that would.
I still kept that logo someone made of somebody falling down. You see how they're tripping? Yeah. Well, that's a curb.
That's a curb, but that could be a jagged rock, too.
And I told my wife as I'm laying down, like trying to make sure nothing's broken. I was so pissed off. I said, I tripped over a curb. I fell and separated my shoulder, falling off a
ladder.
Now I'm falling down on some rocks. Super pissed off.
Yeah. No.
But then she's like, oh my gosh, you're bleeding. Yeah, I'm bleeding.
I know I am. It's jagged rocks.
I know I'm bleeding.
Why are we in jagged rocks?
Why are we falling on? Why am I on rocks?
Why can't we just walk on a
grassy
knoll?
You know I can't walk on rocks.
Why are there? Is there anywhere I could fall?
Why are we hiking?
Mm-hmm.
Something could happen on a hike.
Yeah.
But it was nice, but I kept up with all the teams. I saw the Rockets had a big win against the Clippers. Just something to let you know that we're still terrible, but we can beat you, Clippers.
No, that's not it. It wasn't it at all.
What was it?
The Clippers were just trying to avoid the Lakers, and that's why.
Oh, the Clippers lost on purpose?
Because the Lakers might have finished sixth, and they had a chance to finish sixth, so the Clip wanted out of the three-hole.
Yeah, they did everything possible to not...
to not win.
And they didn't play...
had nothing to do with the Rockets.
No, they didn't play they didn't play the guys last night and still almost beat OKC, because they're trying to tank two. But yeah, the Clippers just wanted the Lakers on the other side of the bracket. Yeah, that's all that was about.
What kind of world do we live in where the basketball players are too afraid to even play?
Well, wouldn't you rather play the Dallas then Utah first?
Have you ever heard of a guy named Ric Flair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Woo!
Yeah. There's a man named Ric Flair, for you kids who don't know this. And this man once said, to be the best, you got to beat the best. Woo!
Yeah.
He gave a little, probably less a little one of stuff. Woo! And I always think about that. Like, the teams now, they don't really aspire to... it's all about, what can we do so we don't have to play a team right away? And, like, even the Clippers with Kawhi Leonard are like that, too, where it's, I don't know, it's too scary to play the mean Lakers. Like, well, I don't know if that's scary right now, but we know they will be in the playoffs.
Yeah, they will be. That's it. Would you rather play the Mavs and the Jazz?
The Clippers were playing to not win.
Well,
that's our job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it happened throughout the league.
Yeah.
People were trying to avoid matchups. It happened a lot.
Never has there been more intentional losing in basketball than now. Oh, and they talk about the plumber generation of Jordan. when now it's just about, we need to lose and rest, lose and rest. I just didn't know basketball is about losing and resting.
Yeah. No, no, no. Oh, by the way, they're talking about... you missed it last week.
Which one? Which story?
We talked about load management in the NFL with 17 games.
Is that a conversation
that's being had? It was a conversation last week.
Did y'all have it, or is it being had?
Well, it was out there nationally. And then, you know, what do you do? Well, if you sit your left tackle, you got to sit your quarterback, and you got to sit your best wide receiver, too, so... you know, you just, there might be a game not in your division, but that one team, see, this year it's the Carolina Panthers that the Texans got as the extra game. That might be the game where
Houston,
you sit everybody.
Load managed.
Load manage. You might have to load manage Davis Mills.
Well, no. Wouldn't Carolina be load managing against the Texans?
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Texans may not see a starting quarterback this year.
Because everybody's load managing.
Rest them. Might get them to 5 wins, which is what we don't want, actually.
Well,
we need to back up a terrible basketball team with a terrible football team. I'm fully cheering for the Texans to lose every game.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just so you guys know in advance, I'm not being a hater. I just want a top pick.
That's all.
I'm not being a hater. I wasn't being a hater of the Rockets.
The top pick.
It doesn't feel good having to cheer for your team to lose. Never have I done that ever, and now I'm back-to-back sports seasons, I'm going to be cheering, well, relatively speaking, I'm going to be cheering for my teams to be terrible.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's what they should be.
Load management may end up being a thing, too, in the NFL. I've waited for it to happen. I'm surprised it hasn't happened to this point. But what positions do it? And you only get 16 of them.
Yeah.
Like, there's only 16 games. Well, now 17. It's a little tough to load manage. I did see... yesterday, Jose Urquidy was put on the IL, but they're backdating it to May 13th.
How about our team now?
And who got brought up?
How about our team now? Well, Enole is back.
Oh, Enole,
and he got in there yesterday and was whipping it around.
Yeah.
How about the way McCullers is throwing now?
God.
He is in such a great rhythm.
He's had like one bad game. And did you get to see all?
Please stay this way, Lance. Please don't get hurt. You know. This is the first time since his rookie season where he threw three straight games over 100 pitches. He didn't hit 100 yesterday, but he hit 100 the three games before, which was that's a pretty good indicator that dude is feeling pretty good. He's throwing a lot of sliders now,
a lot more changeups.
Yeah, and well, that slider too. It's about the same speed, but it's moving from right to left as opposed to up to down. And right to left, so he's looking so good. He had a runner on third and nobody out yesterday. He just bared down, strikeout, pop out, fly ball, and he got out of the inning when they needed him to. At a time when they really needed him to get out of the inning, he looks really, really, really good. You know, I'll be the first to admit I didn't want to give him $17 million, and he's worth it as of right now. as of right now, Lance McCullers is worth that and then some the way that he's pitching. So this looks really nice. And then he's got a two-run lead. He goes six scoreless. Scrub comes in, and the first two batters score. And he's got no – Scrub comes in, nobody out, two runs scored after Lance just worked his ass off to keep a 2-0 lead. And so he doesn't get the win. Raley gets the win. And Noli came in, gave up a hit, but he looked pretty good. I'll tell you what, Raley's starting to put together some outings now. This is going to be difficult. And Noli is back, and he's in there. But a question was asked when Fromber and Odorizzi come back.
By the way, Fromber is pitching today for the Skeeters.
And –
his first game back.
You know, it'll take a little while. It'll take him about 2 to 3 weeks to get ready to come back.
Was that three games?
And be, you know, in rotation and looking good and feeling good. You know, when they come back now, that's going to be very interesting to see what happens to the bullpen. Obviously, the bullpen has had its struggles at times, but the bullpen has been shaping up nicely lately. It's been you know. Stanek's outing notwithstanding the other night.
What happened to Stanek?
I don't know.
I'm thinking of Brooks. What happened to Blake Taylor?
Blake Taylor died. No, Blake Taylor, he's been injured.
He's been injured.
Yeah.
But what's the latest status with
him?
I don't know.
I haven't heard anything on him.
Because he's got 7 innings this year. I'm like, where the hell is Blake Taylor? I mean, they were not good, but presumably because he was injured. But yeah, you're starting to get arms back, at least. We know having Anoli back, you just want someone to pitch well inside the bullpen. And then, you know, getting Anoli's arm back is a big deal. Odorizzi, getting him back is going to be nicer. Odorizzi may end up being a bullpen pitcher.
Yeah. He had the ankle injury. Remember in Seattle, he had to come off
the field. That's right. Yeah. He's never come back from that.
Yeah, he's not come back from that. So, you know, when he does come back, you know, after – listen, there's going to be a wealth of – you know, the bullpen is going to shape up nicely. The deeper the rotation gets, it'll be interesting to see though. Where do you put now? Urquidy's on the IL, but before he went on, man, he was looking really good. Fromber looks really good. You're not going to obviously Greinke's got his spot in the
race. We're not wrong, by the way. At the beginning of the year, Zach Greinke's like the fourth most talented pitcher in the staff.
Yeah,
as far as pure talent, McCullers, and I think Fromber the most talented. Urquidy's up there. Christian Javier's up there. I mean, honestly, when everyone's healthy, Zach Greinke might be the fifth best pitcher.
Javier has had his struggles of late. He bared down after giving up 3 his last outing.
Right.
So he had a scary outing, the outing before. So that was like, what's going on with Christian Javier? But then he was able to bear down and give you 7. So that was a nice outing. This team is looking really nice right now. It really is.
It helps to play the Rangers.
Biggest run differential in the league. Plus 56. We're at the quarter pole right now. There's 7 games over 500. On pace, guy says they're going to win. They're going to finish 27 or 28 games over 500. The way that they're going, that's really nice. But they are looking. They're beating up on, you know, the teams that they should beat up on. They're stringing together series wins. Now they finally get a day off. I think they had like 26 games in 27 days or something ridiculous. So they get a nice day off. They're going to Oakland for 3 then Texas for 3.
They got the second highest run differential in baseball.
The highest, no? Plus 56 is the highest.
It's 60. Is that 61? 61 with the Sox. The White Sox, yeah.
Oh, the White Sox have plus 56. Okay. So
the Astros, other than the AL East, which has 4 teams in plus territory, you got 2 in the Central. You got the Astros, the only team in plus territory in their entire division.
Yeah.
You've only got 1 in the National League East, 2 in the Central, and then 3 in the West. Like, this is the haves and have. This is really the haves.
Hey, you want to talk about a tough part of the schedule, though. At Oakland, at Texas, they suck. But then you come home for 2 against the Dodgers. Then San Diego comes in. Then Boston comes in.
Yeah,
Boston's playing good baseball again. Then you go to Toronto. Then you're at Boston. This is probably as difficult a part of the schedule as you're going to find.
Well, that's why you got to beat up on the Rangers.
That's why you do. You got to beat up the Rangers. You got to go to Oakland and slap them biz notches around, too.
Yeah.
713 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. We had, there was some good stuff this weekend. Bill Worrell saying goodbye and Rudy T being honored in the Hall of Fame. We'll hear some.
Rudy deserved it. Let's have a conversation about those who deserve it and those who don't.
Yeah, because that's happening right now, too. Let's have that conversation on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. But first, you need to talk some insurance.
Let me talk about TGS Insurance. The homeowner's insurance is that's one of those things that's a must. But if you don't have a homeowner's insurer, if you don't shop for competitive rates, what happens is you get buried on homeowner's insurance costs. It's a pretty common theme for a lot of people, and you don't even know it. You just continue to pay a number, and that number goes up year after year after year. It's incremental, so you think, okay, it went up about $70 higher, but you know, over the course of 12 months, it's only $6. Okay, that's fine. And then what ends up happening is when you shop TGS Insurance for the first time, which is A-rated insurance companies are under TGS, that they, well, they're not under them. They basically can shop all those companies for you at one time to find competitive rates. When you, the first time you do that and you see how much money you've been throwing away, it's going to make you sick. Once you're done with that, you're going to sign up and you're going to get A-rated insurance for a lot lower cost. The average savings is $900 annually. Text the word money to 232323 and get started on your new homeowner's insurance quote, and you can get switched over so easily, and it can happen today. Text the word money to 232323 or go to tgsinsurance.com.
When it comes to sports betting, sportsmapbets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, sportsmapbets has all the info you need to make the best play. sportsmapbets.com. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I would like to thank the Hall of Fame for this great honor. I am humbled to be in this amazing class. I also want to thank Calvin and Akeem for once again standing by my side. You are both very important to me. Calvin, during my playing days, you were my teammate, my roommate, my neighbor, my best friend, and most of all, my brother. And we shared so many experiences together. It means so much to me that you are here to share this with me. Hakeem, you more than anyone are responsible for me being here. You were the best player to ever wear a Houston Rockets jersey and one of the best of all time.
That was Rudy Saturday night. And really neat that they, that's a 2020 class, and really neat that they got in. They had to wait a year for their induction, but so cool for Rudy. Well deserved, so deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. Joel got a shout out. Joel Blank, did you see he tweeted out? I can't believe it. I'm sitting at home watching. He was watching with his daughter, and Rudy T shouted out Joel for all his years and everything that he had done. So Joel was, I know that would be neat to be sitting there and a Hall of Fame speech. You get mentioned. But Joel was, an important part of what they were doing there all those years, that Joel was running the broadcast team and everything else there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool stuff.
It's tight with, when you hear Joel tell Rocket stories, like stories.
No, he's in the know. No question. He traveled with, he was every plane ride on every hotel. He was right there, right in the middle of all of it for, I don't know, 25 years, whatever it was.
You should 100% listen to Joel about anything Rocket related, because he's got a lot of insight. Rudy T, I thought it was great that he got into the Hall of Fame, and I put coolest coach that the city's ever known. I don't even think that's up for debate. Like, Rudy, of all the guys, when it comes to just the person that you'd want to hang out with, and I mean from all walks of life, and it seems like everyone's got a story about Rudy. Everyone has hung out with Rudy at some point or knows somebody who did, and I've never heard someone mention a bad word about Rudy. I was lucky enough to get invited to play golf with him and, BV, Brian Vanis, and and Jim Boylan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for Brian's birthday. And we went and played golf one time. And Rudy was just the most normal ass dude that I've ever seen in the world.
After, you know, when they were out at Westside Tennis Club, they used to practice over there, and he'd come over to Nick's place after.
Yeah.
And he'd throw down some beers.
Somebody sent that yesterday. Like, this guy said, yeah, I used to see him at Nick's place all the time. Like, Nick's place?
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. He used to come to Nick's place, and Nick made sure everybody left him alone.
And that's
in
his heyday.
And he could have some beers. But Rudy loved. He didn't mind it at all. Hey, you know, how you doing? You know, you're right. He's just a normal, normal guy.
Sola saw him in West U one time, and Rudy had a couple. And a lot of people's stories is Rudy had a couple, and of course he backed off of that. But Chris is using the bathroom. Like, oh, crap, Rudy's there. They had just won that night. They'd been in the game, and Rudy had gone, blow off some steam, whatever. And Rudy looked over at Chris and like, hey, man, good game tonight. He goes, we beat their asses, didn't we? Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Congratulations.
He, those runs through the playoffs, you know, it was so, and, you know, the attention that they got, you know, for the entire season and even in the beginning of the playoffs in 94. When, you know, I don't know if you remember, but the Mother's Day game, Vernon Maxwell went off. I was right there. I was in that locker room every night and, you know, just shooting for Channel 51.
You mean
I was video.
The Choke City game.
Yeah. Well, no, the Mother's Day game.
Or that was the second one.
The Mother's Day game when half the stadium was empty. And boy, I'll tell you what, Vernon went off and was like, where is everybody?
Yeah.
Why isn't everybody here? But then they started to get on the roll and then they were down.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Then they were down to Phoenix and then they came back and won and you had Kiss of Death and everything else. You know, and now all of a sudden it's packed in the post game show, in the post game when they're in the Western Conference Finals and the NBA Finals. But every game, Rudy had a giant Coke cup, Coke cup.
That's what was in it.
And there was nothing, there was no Diet Coke in it. I can tell you that. There was no Diet Coke whatsoever in it. But he would bring that up there and set it right there. And while he's doing his post game, you know, he's throwing down. I hope it was Coors Light, but I don't think it was. I don't know. I'm just hoping, because that'll make him even a better guy if he was drinking Coors Lights the whole time. But it was some kind of beer that was in there. But you know what? Rudy loved that. You know, he had his beers. He was just a regular guy.
Rudy was the guy who had to deal with. So, you know, I got to hear the story from, I think it was Carol that told me this. It was either him or Jim Boylan. And it was that Carol was the guy who was the ex's. Rudy was just on the staff with Don Chaney, and they got rid of Don Chaney, and they wanted to move Rudy to head coach. And Rudy's like, no, I'm not ready for this. I don't know the X's and O's. I'm not even close. And Carol Dawson said, and Carol knew, you know, if Rudy doesn't take this, this thing could, they'll probably look for someone else, and the whole thing will be over the very next year. And so he convinced Rudy to go to, they went to Galveston, and they hold up where they, you know, where they used to go practice. They said, let's go there, and I'm going to teach you everything I know about basketball. Every X's and O's. And Rudy sat with Carol Dawson. This is how the story goes. And Rudy, I actually asked Rudy when he was on the air with us during pandemic. And it's true. He said, Carol basically went through every strategic thing. Like, it was a basketball crash course for Rudy. And he said, I'll be your number one bench guy. I'll be right there with you to help you through any X's and O's stuff or any strategic stuff. And so Rudy took the job, even though he knew he didn't feel like he was necessarily ready. And that team really had a great vibe with Rudy. This is, remember, he was an interim coach as they fired. I think he was the interim head coach and not Carol, but because he was the very next coach after Don Chaney was fired. And that was a team that was just on the way up. Like, you could tell they just didn't quite have it. They had the pieces. It just wasn't all gelling. And Rudy will be the first one to tell you his whole thing is that he understood how to deal with personalities. He's not the X's and O's guy. He's the CEO personality guy. And to have, look, Dream had for as much as we love Dream, especially back then in the mid 90s, especially before he went to Mecca, Dream was a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
Dream demanded the ball every time. He said the ball goes through the big man. This is where basketball starts and ends is through the big man.
He used to say that at every press.
Give me the ball. Give me the ball.
Every press conference. I mean, afterwards, every game. Yes, you get the ball through the big man. But now, Rudy was pretty much the inventor of what we're watching today.
Yeah.
It's
one in,
you
four
get
out.
It down, get it down to Dream, and Dream kicks it out to the open guy.
Only it's different.
And knocked down. Now, it's much. Yeah.
There is no one in. It's more of a four. Yeah. You know, it starts at the top.
Well, now it's so much more. More.
But the idea of the stretch four, yeah, that's Robert Horry.
Yeah.
That's Mario Elie and Robert Horry.
Yep.
When they switched out in the playoffs, that's where that really started.
Yep.
That had not been a thing until Rudy did it.
Yep. And, so that was so much fun. So great to see Rudy.
Think about what Rudy had to deal with, John. Rudy came in. Rudy had to deal with Dream, who was a big personality, who is just on the heels of fighting with ownership. And then Rudy came in when new ownership came, you know, was when Les Alexander took over is when Rudy, you know, really, I guess Rudy was in the year before technically, but he dealt with that. He dealt with Vernon Maxwell, who was a big, big personality, who had fights with Carl Herrera, where he famously
quit on the team.
Quit in the middle of a season.
No, quit in the middle of the playoffs.
We're in the middle of the playoffs. Brought Clyde Drexler in, which is one of the reasons he ended up quitting.
Well, he also traded Robert Horry for Sean Elliott, and
then
he
got
had
him
to smooth
back,
that over.
Got him back, had to smooth that over. You think about all those little things. Then the whole Steve Francis era there was a ton of drama. You had Yao Ming, which that was a new crush of media. And then, so then Rudy was out, and then I think Ben Gundy came in. Was Rudy there for Yao?
I don't think he was there for Yao. I don't know.
Charles. When Charles came in, and Charles and Clyde hated each other.
Rudy had to deal with Scottie Pippen?
Pippen intentionally was an a-hole to get out of Houston. I'm telling you, I don't know that anyone has dealt with more drama in Houston sports history than Rudy Tomjanovich.
Van Chancellor.
Well, yeah, but Rudy's had a longer, prolonged run of drama.
No, but
Vance drama came with just three people.
Right.
Rudy's was like eight people.
728 ESPN 97.5. Well, we're going to compare that. We've got some comparisons to do. You got that with this class.
You happy Rudy's a Hall of Famer? He deserves it, I think.
Oh, Rudy. Absolutely.
His college, his pro, his coaching.
Oh, no.
Rudy deserves
Rudy,
it.
Rudy
there's
is
other
a
guys,
Hall of Famer.
There's
don't.
Other guys
that don't.
Who don't.
And we'll talk about that on the other side. But right now we're talking about Doc Linville. And if you're on Twitch right now, and there are plenty of you that are, if you're on Twitch right now, you can see the hair and how it's looking today. I'm going to tell you this, just day in and day out, if it wasn't for Doc Linville, I'd be wearing a hat. I'd be, you know, trying to cover up my balls. I was patchy. I just looked like it was such a bad, bad look. And then Doc Linville comes along and he fills it all in with my own hair, with neo-grafting, taking it from the side of my head and putting it in, letting it grow. 7-8 months later, you're going, holy cow, what a difference. It's unbelievable. It's night and day what my head looked like. So if you're somebody that is looking for a great way to get some hair, feel great about your hair, and just I'm telling you, any kind of plastic surgery. Your wife is looking for any kind of plastic surgery. Doc Linville does that as well. But go to 975hair.com and find out about the hair thing. 975hair.com. You're looking for hair? It's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the Lord.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here and hang with us. So, Kobe Bryant. I know Kim Mulkey, Rudy Tomjanovich. Who else was inducted on Saturday?
I watched. We recorded it. I watched. I got in. I got back on Saturday, but I watched some of it with the boys.
KG, Tamika Catchings.
Oh, Kevin Garnett.
Jim Gray.
Tim Duncan.
Wow.
Yeah.
All-time greats.
That was
all-time. Kobe, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Rudy. Kim Mulkey? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
an all-time great coach.
All-time great coach,
I mean,
seriously, KD, Kobe, and Tim Duncan. I mean, KG, Kobe and Tim Duncan.
So now that was the class of 2020, even though they're inducted in 2021.
Eddie Sutton. I mean, you know, good coaching names too, like Eddie Sutton, Rudy Tomjanovich, Kim Mulkey.
Yeah,
obviously, as you mentioned, that's a. I mean, that is a hell of a class.
Now
I'm going
to give you the 2021. Paul Pierce. All right.
Yeah.
Ben Wallace.
Okay.
Chris Webber. Chris Bosh. Rick Adelman. Jay Wright. Bill Russell. Why is Bill Russell? Why the hell is
he? Went in as a coach and a player, right?
Coach and a player.
So I don't know which one this is. Coach, right?
This
he was the
be
first
coach,
black yeah. NBA sure. head coach. As his co- he went
Yolanda
in as a coach.
Griffith and Lauren Jackson. Can somebody explain to me how Ben Wallace is a Hall of Famer? A guy who averaged 5.7 points a game?
Well, he was a how many time defensive player of the year?
You know how many? So he was a rebounder and he was a defensive player, right? You know how many times he led the league in rebounds?
I don't know.
Twice.
How about
you know how many times he led the league in blocks?
Well, he's a 4-time defensive player of the year. How many people have done that? I'm actually asking. I don't know.
I would imagine the dream has been
Dikembe.
4 times?
Yeah. I would imagine. 3.5 blocks 1 time. He averaged 2 blocks a game.
Well,
he averaged 9.6 rebounds a game. Russell Westbrook averages more.
Well, blocks. I'm looking for Dream.
Here you go. He averaged 5.7 points.
Dream was 2 times. Dikembe Mutombo was 1, 2, 3. Dikembe was 3 times. Dwight Howard was 3 times.
Yeah, I don't know how many people have won it 4 times.
I think that. I mean, that's clearly why Ben Wallace.
That's great.
Won it. Four
and,
or five
and
years.
5.7 points a game.
Alonzo Mourning twice.
Well, but his okay. If that's your job, is to block shots and to rebound.
Well, block shots isn't the only way you play defense.
No, but that's mostly the way the big man does.
Well, you guard your man. You help.
He averaged one turnover.
Pick and roll.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was a
there are
shorter
ways to play D.
Remember, he was like a 6'7" center. So he had to match up against much bigger people. Ben Wallace was not that big.
No, but you, okay, so you would still think.
He's listed as 6'9", but he won 6'9".
Listen, I don't care what you tell me about Ben Wallace. He's not a Hall of Famer. I saw Ben Wallace his whole career.
Well, that's one
ben
argument.
Ben Wallace wasn't a Hall of Famer.
Well, that's one argument, but as far as what he did, I mean, limiting to blocks isn't what defense is about. The guy moved his feet. He played the pick and roll. He played his own guy. He was a great defender, and I haven't found everything, but if he's the only guy who's ever won it 4 times,
yeah,
that
is.
Would be one in his column.
I just looked at
that's
it.
That's one thing in his column.
They
he
started
averaged in, under 10 rebounds a
they
game.
They started in 82, but they're going to, well, so from a fan perspective, Ben would not be in. What about from a basketball, like, coach's perspective? As a glue guy, as a dirty work guy, I mean, this is kind of like a punter getting into the Hall of Fame. Where if you're going to have one, you don't have many of them.
Well, no, and that team, you know, they won a title.
Yeah,
he was
important.
He was a cog.
They had
to
a
that.
Lot of guys who were important to that team.
Yeah, but
he does not feel like a Hall
he's
of Famer.
Not a Hall of Famer.
And I'll be honest with you, Chris Bosh does not feel like a Hall of Famer. Chris Webber does not. They feel like a Hall of very good.
Yeah,
not a Hall of Fame. But in basketball, it is Hall of Fame. No, I mean, and Chris Webber was important culturally from the standpoint of Fab Four. It was that was not a thing back then for freshmen to be that impactful. That was not a thing. And Chris was also, it was weird for Chris to leave after 2 years and everyone else waited 3 years because that was kind of the norm as you played 3 years of college basketball to 3 to 4 years. Webber left after his second year, but, for them to have a team full of the Fab Five, that was a pretty big deal at that time. So you have his college stuff where he's most well-known for calling an ill-advised timeout and costing his team a chance to win a championship. You have college 2 years. He was a good pro. You know, he was a good pro. He still feels like, from a cultural standpoint, if you really want to go all the way back, Chris Webber makes his first appearance in the public landscape with the release of Hoop Dreams. The documentary, the outstanding basketball documentary about William Agee and I don't remember the other guy's name, Agee, but they were at a basketball camp, and there's Chris Webber with his high top fade, and we see him in high school. That's our first look at Chris Webber was there. But I take it back because the documentary was released. It was actually Hoop Dreams was released after they had already gone to college. So Chris Webber would have already been part of, you know, the Fab Five. But he still feels like just a good player. Chris Bosh feels like a no-brainer. He shouldn't be a Hall of Famer.
I don't know. To me, Ben Wallace is the biggest no-brainer on this thing. And well, secondly, you know, Bosh was a piece and a pretty good piece. I mean, he was the best player in Toronto when he was there. And he was the third wheel with the...
But Ben was defensive player of the year four times. No one's ever done that. Dream didn't do it. David Robinson didn't do it. Alonzo Mourning, Gary Payton, Hakeem Olajuwon, all these names.
That's something that's voted on.
It's voted on by basketball people.
Yeah, right. I get it. Still something that's voted on.
You're worried about rebounds for Ben Wallace. And Chris Bosh's entire career, he had 10 rebounds or more just three times in his career.
What did he average rebounds?
His average rebound was 8.5.
Well, Ben Wallace
19
was,
point,
how many points so did he average a game, though?
19.2 points and 8.5. That's not
19.2 versus 5.7.
Yeah, but 19.2 versus Ben Wallace is in a special category. So if you want to make comparisons compared to that, Chris Bosh is in a category of other Hall of Famers. These aren't, and granted, I like looking at what they do in their prime. Chris Bosh at no point was the number one player. I mean, he was in Toronto when it was a lesser team. Did you ever feel like Chris Bosh was a superstar?
No. I don't feel like Tracy McGrady was a Hall of Famer. Bosh isn't a Hall of Famer. Ben Wallace isn't a Hall of Famer. There's a lot of guys.
Does Bosh ever feel like the dude? Like McGrady felt like the dude at one point. Did you feel like that?
No, he was the dude in Toronto.
Only because he was in Canada where they didn't care.
No, he was a dude.
Well,
he was
so
the best player.
Tracy.
And then when he decided to, you know, go to Miami, he decided, I'm not going to be the dude anymore.
Yeah. I'm going to win championships. And he won championships.
Even when he was a dude. Now, granted, we have to remember the scoring was lower.
And by the way, Bosh retired at 31 because of health. So who knows what he would have looked like at 31, 32, 33 when he was the dude in Miami.
Y'all can see Bosh.
I can see Bosh more
than... Does Bosh feel like a Hall of Famer to you, Dell? And granted, basketball Hall of Fame's lighter.
Look,
don't give him credit because he
tell you what the Heat said about him. I mean, whether it's hyperbole or not, they called him the key to their defense. They wouldn't have been as great defensively if it was for him, just because of his ability to get out on guys, to switch, to protect the rim.
I mean, he was a good player.
They have high esteem for him, and if that organization, they retired his number already. I mean,
because of a heart condition.
Well, I mean, they retired it. He's one of very few to get that done. So
let me ask you a question. Would they have retired if he didn't have a heart condition?
I mean, at this point.
If he wasn't on a commercial with, who is he on a commercial with? Was it Arnold Palmer?
They probably wouldn't have retired as soon, but they would have retired his number. He's one of he's more beloved there than LeBron is.
Is he really?
Yeah. The LeBron thing is sketchy. They might retire his number, but I wouldn't say it's a lock.
I mean, I'm looking at everything, and you know the numbers are all relative to what the scoring was. So, 22, you see 22 points now, you think what's the big deal about 22 points? But that's the first year in his third year, Chris Bosh averaged 22 points a game in 2005, 2006. But if you look at the league scoring was way, there was much better defense. There was the scoring was way lower. Back in the day. So, I don't know. I get it. I have respect for him. But to me, the Basketball Hall of Fame's already gone down this road where I think good players get in. You don't have to be an all-time great. You just have to be an all-time good. And that's what Chris Bosh was. That's what Chris Webber is to me. All-time, you know, all-time goods. I don't know that they're all-time greats. I'm sure people can make the same argument about Guy V. Lewis, who I'm glad he's in the Hall of Fame. I'm sure they could say, hey, what about your guy? Never won a title, lost a ton of Final Four games, but never, you know, never won a championship game. You know, never got there. That's fair. That's probably fair. I think Guy V. Lewis's career is a little more far-reaching, and his importance with the Elvin Hayes game and the Astrodome, and I mean, there's, you know, some iconic stuff, but ultimately... he did get in, and so did Chris Bosh. And, you know, and basketball plays it. Let's face it, basketball plays it safe.
Well, let me ask you, is Chris Bosh's career any different? Is Kurt Warner a much better player than Chris Bosh was, if you compare the sports?
I think
Kurt Warner was an MVP.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Wasn't he?
Kurt Warner ended up with some huge.
It was weird that Kurt
huge numbers.
I didn't when Kurt Warner got in. I felt like Kurt Warner, and then when you look at his, he played. First of all, he played a long time. He got to multiple Super Bowls, and Bosch obviously got to multiple finals.
Yeah.
But
Kurt Warner was the most important cog on his team as opposed to Chris Bosh.
Well, he's a quarterback. He's always going to get it.
Yeah, well, right.
And that's the advantage he has.
There's the advantage, too. Yeah. Yep.
That's a natural advantage.
All right, 743 ESPN 97.5. When we come back, we'll say goodbye to Bill Worrell. We had him on last week, but we want to hear what Bill Worrell
had. Say goodbye to Bill Worrell.
Well, we're going to say goodbye to hearing Bill Worrell. And so we will hear his last couple of minutes on the broadcast from Friday night. A game that the Rockets sent him out with a win. Congratulations to our team. But first, Craig DeSurf. There's a winner.
Craig DeSurf's been a winner for a long time. And my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, it's not just Craig DeSurf. It's Rick Drenner. It's, you know, frankly, the entire staff that's out there. And that's on the service side as well. They have almost no turnover out in Angleton. It's because it's such a family atmosphere. And I tell you this, I know you're trying to buy a car. You might not care at all about a family atmosphere, but the reason I want to tell you that is because it's the way they do business. There's not a bunch of hassle. You don't go in there thinking, are they trying to rip me off? Or whatever you think about other car dealerships, it's not what you've got going on at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. You go in there for the best GMC products and Chevy and Buick, and they've got you covered from the very best pickup trucks like the Silverado or the GMC Sierra pickup truck. A variety of different types of trucks in there, SUVs from the crossovers to the midsize to the larger SUVs. Everything that you could possibly want is in one location out in Angleton. Yeah, it's about 42 minutes away from right here in the heart of downtown, but what you're going to find is that extra few miles of your drive is going to be an extra thousands of dollars in your pocket, not only with their savings that they have with the programs, but also with the trade-in value they give you and the fact that they're willing to get to their lowest number much faster than anyone else. Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick GMC in Angleton. Stop by and start your car buying experience at LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Texas Custom Patios, though. All right, welcome back. 746 ESPN 97.5. So Friday night, Bill Worrell's last hurrah on AT&T Sportsnet. Bill Worrell going to be around playing golf. If you're out at Braeburn, I'm sure you're going to see Bill Worrell. When the course opens back up, they're fixing it up, and it's going to be really, really nice. But you, if you're a golfer, you have seen, more than likely, you've seen Bill Worrell out there on the course. Bill Worrell loves him some golf. I see, you want to talk about a great career. Dude, 20 years with the Astros, 40 years with the Rockets, and he plays golf all the time. I mean,
when you grow up, you want to be Bill Worrell.
Bill Worrell.
You've done your best Worrell imitation.
Without the whole Rockets Astros thing,
yeah, without being play by play,
but I did five Roughnecks games.
That's true. That's true.
I'm baby Bill Worrell.
Yeah, you got a little taste of the Worrell life. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, no,
the Worrell paycheck from a team.
Well, that wasn't that great, but
well, you got paid, right?
I got paid.
Yeah, see,
I got my money.
You're better than half the people in the XFL. Yeah, you got paid.
Yeah. Don't be making fun of the XFL.
Are the coaches, have they gotten paid yet? Because last I heard, a lot of them were like, hey, can we get our money?
What about some money that you guys owe us?
No, we're paying the guys who don't make coaches' salaries.
Yeah, there's a lot of lawsuits and stuff going on. But neither here nor there. It was Bill Worrell saying his farewell on Friday night.
The Houston Rockets win 122-115, and they win for the home fans on the final game. And boy, Matt, it's getting a little tougher to finish this one out. I have so many great memories, and it's been so much fun, especially working with you, my man.
Yeah, it's been a complete joy, Bill. You're one of the greatest people I've ever been around. Everyone you touch is just a positive interaction, and what a great career. It's hard to feel like it's coming to an end, because for all of us Houston Rockets players and fans and everybody in the organization, you're all we've ever known, you know. And so just want to thank you for everything you've done. And the Rockets got us a win tonight on your way out.
And I got the game ball. Now, how about that? I'm going to tell Rudy that Stephen Silas gave me the game ball. He never gave me one.
Yeah, and that was Silas's idea. You know, he called Perry Furman, our producer, yesterday and said, I want to give Bill the game ball. And that just shows you what a great guy Coach Silas is.
Oh, he is. He's wonderful, and I'm pulling for him all the way. This is going to be a pretty good team, no doubt about it. Thanks. I'm going to see you anyway.
Yeah, we'll
stay in touch, but I want to thank you fans, too, and I want to once again give you the final score tonight. The Rockets, 122, and the Los Angeles Clippers, 115. Be sure to join us now for the next season finale on Sunday when the Rockets travel to Atlanta to take on the Hawks. Coverage begins at 5:30 on AT&T Sportsnet. Well, that's it for me, but I just want you folks to stick with the Houston Rockets down the stretch, because they're going to be back. The front office is going to get it right, and we're going to be right back on top, and we'll all be there to see it. So thanks for letting me into your life a little while during the years, and remember, go Rockets.
Classy way to sign off. Yeah. Bill Worrell, the voice of the Houston Rockets. Yeah, I don't know any other announcer.
I grew up literally watching games with Bill Worrell and McCoy McLemore, watching Young Dream and Young Ralph. Like, Bill was the play-by-play guy. Yep. Literally, what Matt Bullard said was true. As somebody who watched the Rockets from the time I was, on TV, the first time I can remember is, you know, I'm talking middle school. It's Bill Worrell. I was watching Bill Worrell. My dad was coaching at U of H in the late 70s, early 80s. Bill Worrell was doing coaches' shows, Coach Elman's show, and he was a Channel 2 sports anchor. Like, that's all I've, from the time I've been a kid, all I've ever known is, I mean, there's Ron Franklin, Bill Worrell, Greg Roberts. There were certain names that you knew, but Bill Worrell has been the lasting face of Houston sports more than anybody that's ever been. And he'll be, I mean, you know, Mark Berman is moving up the charts too. Mark's been around for a long time. But Bill Worrell, everybody in the city who grew up in the city has watched Bill Worrell this entire time. Because when you started watching on HSE, Home Sports Entertainment, that's what AT&T Sportsnet is now. It used to be called HSE. So when we watched Astros and Rockets on our cable stations, cable channels for the first time, Bill Worrell called both games. Like, he'd do baseball and he'd do basketball. So he was an Astros guy and a Rockets guy. But you never, that's back when Bill did every Rockets game, home, away. He's always been, it sucks that I missed him. I didn't realize you guys had him on.
Yeah.
But I'd love to get him in studio sometime just to tell some stories at some point, because he's got some stories.
Oh, yeah, he's got some stories. Yeah, but
what did he say about,
nothing. We just talked about, you know, the years, and he did tell, you know, Gene Peterson used to put down that he was the general manager of the team, so he always got a suite on the road until he got caught doing that, and then they said, you can't do that anymore.
Gene Peterson.
No, Gene got in trouble for that. I remember that story because at the end I asked him, I said, hey, who got a better room all the time? You or, because I remember that story. And Gene did get, he got disciplined for it. But Gene Peterson would put down that he was the general manager, so he got the suite. and Bill told the story. It was fun.
Simpler time before the internet. You could get away a lot.
Yeah, you could get away with that stuff. But Bill was on, and he reminisced, but he also, you know, talked about this team and, you know, the direction and everything else. And it was good to have him. And
I was fine
he is
with
a
Bill.
Great guy. Great
I was fine
guy.
With everything Bill said until he tried to sell us on the Rockets. I'm like, Bill, you know, you might want to distance yourself right now from just the Rockets will be back on top. Like,
back on top? When were they on top?
Well, back on
94,
top of
95
the,
is what he's talking about.
Top of the, you know,
I don't
getting look, in the top four.
It's a shame he had to lie on his way out.
Yeah. No. What? They're going to be back on top. The Rockets will be back on top
really
shortly because the GM's going to get it right.
Year, sure they will.
Well, and speaking of which, here's the deal: is you found out yesterday where the Rockets will be drafting. The draft slots, now, if they don't get a top four pick, If they don't get the top four pick, they're going to get the 18th pick overall from Miami.
Okay.
If they don't get
for the Oladipo deal.
For the for Oladipo. Well, so if Houston does not land in the draft lottery's top four, Oklahoma City will swap Miami's first round selection for that of the Rockets. Oklahoma City's.
Yeah,
Oklahoma City has it.
Has owned Miami's pick for a while.
Yeah. So that's not the Oladipo thing.
Oh, that's the pick swap.
Yeah.
So you lose.
That's the pick swap that you get. You get the 18th overall pick. Then, they've got the pick from Portland. It's either number 21, number 22, or number 23.
What was that for?
That was for
Covington. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Covington went up there. And then Milwaukee, you got the 24th overall pick.
So you're going to have three firsts.
Yeah.
But if you
it could
get the
be
first,
18, 23, and
well,
24.
Well, you're hoping it's one, two, or
which
three.
Which is crap.
You're hoping
NBA.
It's one.
Well, yeah. No. It could be one, 23, and 24. There's a good chance that 23 and 24 are guys that, I don't know, you draft a Euro and stash them.
You tie them both up and see if you can move up to, like, you know, 15th. I don't know if there's value in having two first-round contracts for another team. That may actually be a deterrent
in the
NBA.
Well, you might have three.
If you have your one, let's say you have one, two, or three, you may say, okay, let's see if we can, is somebody willing to take a couple of number ones for their number, a higher number one, and maybe you get a guy who, because I would have to think the 15th best player in the college draft or in the NBA draft is going to be better than people on your own roster.
Yeah. No,
this is a terrible roster.
Shoot, are you kidding? They just signed a Khyri Thomas the other day and gave him a long-term deal. He was on a 10-day contract, emergency contract, because you didn't have enough players, and they signed him to a long-term deal. That's how bad it is. Now, he looked good. He scored 20, and he looked okay, but you're so bad, you see a guy for three games, and you say, we got to get this guy locked up. That's how bad it is. So, yeah, when a Jay Sean Tate is like, wow, we got us a Jay Sean Tate. There's a foundation. What? That's a foundation. Jay Sean Tate is a foundation guy. Well, he is on this team. So, no. It is imperative. Oh, my God. It could be number 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 18.
No, it's imperative you land.
It is imperative.
You've done all this hard work this year.
Yeah.
You've worked your ass off to get to the spot to be able to draft early.
Honestly.
You can't blow it. You don't want a lottery to screw you out over all your hard work.
There's a chance that this is the difference between Christian Wood staying or going.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
If Christian Wood doesn't get any help.
If he doesn't get any help, he's just going to go.
He's going to be a max dollar guy wherever he goes.
Yeah, for who, for what. Now, the Rockets can give him more.
Yeah.
So that's, hopefully he's a little greedy.
Yeah, one.
Well, yeah, he'll be greedy.
Huh?
I mean,
he takes hometown
discount.
He'll
get upset, and he'll force his way out, so he'll get traded if the other team gets his bird right, so they can give him a max deal.
This is what
we
I
know
would
that,
say.
We know how it's going to work, right?
Yeah, that's how it's going to work. No. You get yourself out while you can still get bird rights somewhere.
Yeah, he makes himself someone who they don't want around, and they trade him before.
And he still gets that deal.
He still gets this big deal.
$22 million sounds like a good number for Christian Wood.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it does for him.
Let's give him $22 million for 5 years.
You're not Carlos Correa in him, are you?
I'm giving him what amounts to
you're Carlos Correa
a hometown discount. You know what Tom Brady did? He took less so he could build championships around him. This is the same thing. Give Rafael Stone a little bit of a discount and Tillman a discount because the casinos have been hit hard in the steak places. He might not have that money. So you take a little less, and then the Rockets build a championship around you. That's how that works. It's called the Brady method. And it worked for Tom Brady, and it can work for you.
Yeah,
take less money.
Tom Brady had already won championships.
That's
and,
all right.
And believed in the
And he did get a signing bonus. He did actually get that money. Everyone acts like he took
less
money.
Everybody disrespected him.
Money.
Hey, he is the Tom Brady. Everybody disrespected him at draft time, right?
Yep.
Okay.
He was crapped on.
Bad body. Bridget Moynihan left him. Okay.
He left her, but whatever.
Well, kind of same thing.
Well, they
whatever.
Broke up.
He
whatever.
Left her, but okay,
right?
Whatever.
So,
and he's the guy, and then the rest of his career was how you like me now moment.
Yeah, how's that taste?
Every team, every woman, whoever, every canai's doing it. And he's 40s. He's still doing it to Bill Belichick.
This is Christian
Woods.
Oh,
hey, what's going on? I'm just going to get off this celebration boat.
Christian Woods going to continue to win championships in his 40s.
You heard what Bill...
When's he going to win his first one?
Did you hear what Bill Worrell said?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Back on top.
That's right.
Yeah,
back
I heard
on
him,
top.
And I thought to myself, Come on. You had a great career. You want your last words? You want to go out with a lie?
Yeah, I thought that that's the one thing he shouldn't have said.
Yeah, probably shouldn't have said
that. You stick with these Rocket fans. I got a feeling they're gonna get this thing right. You could have just said that.
Yeah.
Don't just say they're gonna fix it and get back on top.
What an NFL quarterback is all about? Who is that guy? We'll tell you on the other side. Who is what an NFL quarterback is all about?
Such a
right now, though, we're going to talk about being a champion. And that's what Christian Wood is. That's what all the, you know, the Houston Texans, that's what it's what they are. They epitomize what being a champion is all about. And here's the deal is you can't see. I mean, you probably get discount prices right now at those games. You get discount prices when you go with Champion Energy. Discount prices. That's right. Discount pricing. That's just like our sports teams. You can get discount pricing at their games. You can get discount pricing for your electricity. And look, if you're looking for the best deal on electricity, you're going to look for, they're not jacking them. There's not 1,000 different, what is this and what is this? Why am I getting this fee and that fee? And that's not what they do at Champion Energy. What they do is they get you a straightforward bill that you're going to love every single month. I just paid mine. It's unbelievable how low it is. If you're looking for a great way to get that electricity at a lower rate, champion.energy/1560, champion.energy/1560.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.